Turning your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We'll read beginning at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this midweek prayer and Bible study service. And we pray that you might speak to our hearts from our study of your word tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, for a few minutes, we want to think about the subject of forgiveness as we find it here in the Lord's words to Peter. And the first thing that we want to think about is the difference between man's idea of forgiveness and how God sees forgiveness. Peter comes to the Lord and he asks in verse 21, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times." It's interesting to me how Peter did not consider the other possibility, which would be, how many times that I sin against my brother? How many times should he forgive me? He just considers the possibility of his brother sinning and offending him, which is what we expect from ourselves, isn't it? We're self-centered. Now, where did Peter come up with the number seven? Well, in Amos 1 and verse 3, we read, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof." There were those among the rabbis who taught that three transgressions or offenses were to be forgiven, but not the fourth. And then there was another group, a spiritual group, that combined the three and the four. And so they came up with seven times. That's possibly where Peter got seven times. But I was thinking that as a fisherman, I'm not sure how much time Peter spent among the rabbis. But I believe the place that he may have gotten that number is from the Lord's words. In Luke chapter 17, if you'll turn over there for just a minute to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and look at verse 3. The Lord Jesus says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." The Lord Jesus says, if thy brother trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, that is what Peter is referring to. Then he was willing to give one day's worth of forgiveness to his brother, but no more. The point is that the very fact that Peter was willing to count how many times he forgave his brother up to a maximum of seven shows that he did not understand forgiveness. And that's not only true of Peter. Many times it's true of you and me. By nature, our forgiveness tends to have a limit. A day's worth is about all that we're willing to give many times. But let's go back to Matthew 18 and verse 22 and look at God's view of this subject. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now we might read verse 22 here and then think about what we just read in Luke chapter 17 and verse 4 and think that there is a difference in what the Lord said. But there isn't. In Luke 17, 4, he said, if thy brother trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Notice the words, in a day. In a day. And also notice that the Lord Jesus puts no limit on the number of days that that could take place. He puts no limit on the number of days that we're to forgive. And so it's every day of our lives that we're to forgive. If our brother comes to us today, if he comes to us tomorrow, if he comes to us the next day. Luke 17, 4, because there is no limit on the days, is teaching unlimited forgiveness. And so is verse 22 here. Until 70 times 7. The Lord just puts it in a very interesting way here in Matthew 18 and verse 22. A way that Brother Jed pointed out in a message some years ago. The Lord Jesus says not until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 70 times 7 is 490. So is the Lord saying that we are to forgive 490 times? And then we've reached our limit? I counted up today. My wife and I have been married 18,680 days. Wonderful days. But I think you can see that if she only gave me 490 times, I'd have run out a long time ago. So the Lord is not putting a cap on the 490. He's teaching us something else. And it's the point that Brother Jed brought out. And what he's teaching us is related to this 70 times 7. Brother Jed related that to what we read in Daniel chapter 9. I'd like for you to turn there, if you would, to Daniel chapter 9. Look at Daniel chapter 9. And in verse 24, the angel Gabriel tells Daniel that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. 70 weeks. How long is 70 weeks? Is it 70 seven-day weeks or 490 days? Or is it 1 year and 18 weeks? How long is it? Well, keep your place here and turn back to Genesis chapter 29 for just a minute. Genesis chapter 29. In this chapter, in verse 18, well, let's back up a little further than that. In this chapter, Jacob has gone to Haran. He's been sent there by Isaac and Rebekah to Rebekah's family to take a bride, to take a wife. And in verse 18, Jacob agrees to serve Laban 7 years for his daughter Rachel. Now, of course, we know that Laban deceived Jacob, and he substituted Leah for Rachel. And when Jacob realizes what has happened, he says to Laban there at the end of verse 25, "Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." Now notice verse 27. Laban says, "Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. Laban says, "Fulfill her week." Her has two references here. Two references. And how long is this week that Laban is talking about Jacob fulfilling? Well, as it relates to Leah, it's a week of 7 days. What Dr. Henry Morris refers to as Leah's festive week, according to the custom. But as it relates to Rachel, fulfilling her week means a week of years. 7 years that Jacob was to serve Laban for Rachel. And it's interesting that this is the first mention of the word week in the Bible. And at this first mention, we learn something very important. We learn that this word week can mean 7 days, or it can mean 7 years. The context determines the meaning. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 9, and let's think about the context here. In Daniel chapter 9, the angel Gabriel tells Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now what Gabriel is going to do is tell Daniel what is going to happen in these 70 weeks. And there are several things that are going to happen in this 70-week time period. First, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, the time period of these 70 weeks begins, as we have learned from the work of Sir Robert Anderson, the Scotland Yard detective. These 70-week period begins on March the 14th, 445 B.C., with the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem and the wall. And 69 of the 70 weeks are completed, as we see in verse 25, when Messiah the Prince, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth to the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, that's 445 B.C., unto the Messiah the Prince, that is a prophecy of the day. The Lord Jesus said on that day, what we know is Palm Sunday, as he rode into Jerusalem, and he was hailed by the people, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." And they cast the palm trees in his, what, the palm branches and their coats. They put on the donkey and set the Lord Jesus on. And the Lord said about Jerusalem and the people of Israel that day, "If thou hadst known on this thy day," that specific day, it's the day that he rides into Jerusalem. And as Sir Robert Anderson research shows, it was on April the 6th, 32 A.D. And so from 445 B.C. to April the 6th, 32 A.D., it's a period of 483 years. So the weeks that Gabriel is talking about here, these 70 weeks, are not weeks of 7 days, but weeks of 7 years. And of course, as we know, and as we read in verse 26, 3 days after presenting himself as Messiah the Prince, the Lord Jesus was cut off. He was cut off, but not for himself. Isaiah the prophet tells us who the Lord Jesus was cut off for. He said in Isaiah 53 and verse 8, "For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken." And that's not all that Isaiah says about the Messiah being cut off, but not for himself. He says that the Lord Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He says, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." So right here in this prophecy, these 69 weeks goes right down to the time of the cross. It is amazing to me as you study this book how over and over and over again you keep running into the cross. The central point of all eternity. The central message of this book, the cross. That Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. All of this fits into the first part of verse 24. This is what Gabriel is referring to when he tells Daniel that this 70 weeks is to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for the people. That's what the cross accomplished. That's what the cross accomplished. As the Lord Jesus gave his life and shed his blood there for you and me. All of that takes place in the first 69 weeks or 483 years. So that leaves a week. That leaves 1 week that's yet to be fulfilled. It leaves 7 years out in the future. So we've been living in a gap between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel. And we're just about to the end of that gap. The 70th week, these last 7 years, we read about in verse 27. And he, that is the Antichrist, the man of sin, is going to come and he's going to make a 7-year covenant with Israel. And then in the midst of the week, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, in other words, after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This is what the Lord is talking about in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15 when he says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place." And the Apostle Paul describes in detail what the Lord means when he talks about the abomination of desolation that we're reading about here, is spoken of by Daniel the prophet. When we see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, Paul gives us the detail of what that means in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's the man of sin, the son of perdition. It's the Antichrist. It's Satan incarnate. He causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, because he's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. And he's going to cause these things to cease because he, as God, is going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that event will begin the final 3.5 years of the 7 years of tribulation. What the Lord Jesus said will be great tribulation. And when that final week, the 70th week, is over, then the last part of verse 24 is going to come to pass. To to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. The Lord Jesus will come. He's going to set up His kingdom on earth. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and the Lord Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And at the end of that time, Satan is going to be loosed from the bottomless pit, and he leads one last battle. He leads one last rebellion. He makes one final attempt to overthrow God. Fire is going to come down out of heaven and devour his army, and the Lord Jesus shall reign forever and ever. So this 70 weeks, this 490 years, spans from the beginning of this 70 weeks, from 445 B.C., all the way to the end of time. All the way to eternity. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 18. Because here's the contrast that the Spirit of God is teaching us here. The contrast that He's teaching us in Peter's words in verse 21 and the Lord's words in verse 22. Peter says, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till 7 times. Peter's question demonstrates how we think about forgiveness. It's limited. It has a shelf life, if you will. It has a maximum number. And when that number is reached, that's it. No more forgiveness. Now contrast that to God's forgiveness. Verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times. I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 70 times 7. We just learned the significance of that time period. It's the number of years that goes all the way to eternity. And that brings before us an amazing thing. It brings before us the character of God's forgiveness. It's limitless. It's eternal. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever, forever. And what did He do when He saved our souls? He forgave our sins. He removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it. God doeth it. Think about John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. There's another verse that shows the eternal nature and the limitless nature of God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can turn that verse every which way you can, and you will not find a limit on it. You will not find a limit. 70 times 7 is written all over 1 John 1:9. And the limitless, eternal forgiveness of God is given out every day. Every day. That's what His mercies are new every morning. That's what we read in Luke 17:4. If we trespass against, but let's think about that. The Lord said, if you trespass against your brother, but let's put that in our relationship with Him. If we trespass against the Lord seven times in a day, and we trespass more than seven times a day, but let's use that number. If we trespass against the Lord seven times in a day, and seven times in a day we turn again to Him and say, I repent, He forgives us. He forgives us. And we rejoice in that forgiveness, and we rejoice in that mercy. But there is a personal aspect to this 22nd verse. It's a personal aspect to the Lord's words here of 70 times 7. A personal message in this 70 weeks. We've already talked about how 69 of them are complete, and there's only 1 week or 7 years left. And what's going to happen as that 70th and last week begins? The Lord Jesus is going to come. He's going to come to the air. And if we know Him as our Savior, He is going to take us out of this world. And what's going to happen to you and me in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye when that takes place? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:51, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're going to be changed. And Paul repeats those words again at the end of the next verse, at the end of verse 52. And we shall all be changed. And so the Lord's words here in verse 22 until 70 times 7, we take those and we apply them to the 70 weeks that we read about in Daniel chapter 9. That's 70 times 7. So we're talking about the same time period. And I give you the bad news. How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until we are changed. Until we are changed. We're to forgive until we're changed in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Not just seven times. Not just one day. But until eternity begins for us. Now I tell you what that is. It's exactly what Kent used to talk about. That's easy preaching, but it's hard living. It's hard living. Because it means that this old nature that wants to limit and count how many times we have forgiven up to some maximum number of times, it means that this old nature has got to be put to death daily. Daily. Because forgiveness of our brethren, forgiveness of the people around us is daily. Is daily. It's the only way you'll ever prevent growing a root of bitterness toward another believer. Forgive them. The only way that you'll keep from going around miserable in your life. How are we doing in this matter of forgiveness? Well, the Lord, beginning in verse 23, gives us a way to measure ourselves and see how we're doing in this matter of forgiveness. But that, Lord willing, will be for another message. Tonight I wanted us to get the picture, get the contrast, the difference between how man views forgiveness and how God views forgiveness. And the responsibility that we have to forgive. How oft shall I forgive my brother until I am changed, until you are changed? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the opportunities that You give us to study Your Word. And we pray that these meetings would be special to us. Because we're meeting with You. We have that blessed opportunity. And we pray that You would just help us to consider Your Word tonight. Not what has been said by some man, but to consider Your Word. That we might live in the light of Your Word every day. That we might be a blessing to the people around us, our fellow believers. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.